He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Independence Day here in America. We do have a live show. It's kind of a best of that we're going to be doing today. We'll get some national news. Not a lot of local stuff going on, so we're going to do some national news first. We'll have an interview with Camden Laird, who is here with me today, about twerking or twitching or tweaking or whatever it is that he does on the interwebs as well. We'll also have a best of kind of interviews. We're going to take a listen to the Nico Harrison interview, Joey Thomas, Nick Taylor, and a couple other ones if we have some time. So kind of a little smattering of everything today. Not your typical show, but because it's Independence Day, we thought we would mix it up just a little bit. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, you can give them a call. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. Don't even know if the computer, the phone is hooked up yet. We're in new studios as well. So not only is it Independence Day and kind of a best of show, it's also in brand new studios. So a little of everything going on here today. But once again, we will take a talk with Camden, who is here joining us because his sister is at the store with his mom. And it's 4th of July, so we wanted to come with and kind of see what it's all about. We'll take a look at World Cup soccer and, of course, take a look at some of our best of interviews with Joey Thomas, Nico Harrison, and the rest. But first, let's go into national news. In the NBA, Kawhi Leonard still hasn't decided on a team that he wants to play for in free agency. As free agency started last weekend, Leonard did allow his, or narrow his choice, I should say, down to three teams, the two LA teams and Toronto. He met with Toronto earlier this week and now has met with the Lakers and the Clippers as well. Really kind of hope he stays in Canada and goes back to the Raptors. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's kind of what I hope. The Clippers would be all right, kind of a second choice of mine if I had one, as long as he doesn't end up with the Lakers. The Lakers are already stacked with LeBron. And then they get, of course, the trade for the Pelicans for Anthony Davis as well. They're kind of stacked. They don't need another super max player like that, and I'd like to see if they could do it with two players. And Toronto, it's their only team in Canada. Everybody in Canada watched it. So I think it'll be pretty interesting to see how he does if he goes back to Toronto. The East is wide open, so I think it'd be a good move on his part as well. We'll have to see what happens, but again, that's kind of the way I hope that he rolls or leans towards. In sadder news, former Kentucky and NFL quarterback Jared Lorenzen died Wednesday after a battle with cardiac and renal issues. He was only 38 years old. Lorenzen, who struggled with his weight both during and after his playing career, was hospitalized last week. Lorenzen became a star at Kentucky because of his record-setting passing accomplishments and, of course, his size. Nicknamed the Hefty Lefty, weighing in at more than 300 pounds, Lorenzen became Kentucky's all-time leading in passing yards with 10,354 and completions with 862, also total offense of 10,637 yards in total. So he wasn't a big runner, but he could sling it. Moving on to soccer news, Christian Pulisic, yeah, that's how you say it, had two second-half goals. The United States beat Jamaica 3-1 in the Gold Cup semifinal match in Nashville, Tennessee. That was halted by a 90-minute weather delay. The win secured the United States' second straight trip to the tournament final, in which it will defend its title against arch-rival Mexico on Sunday at Soldiers Field in Chicago. In other news, in Women's World Cup soccer, the United States had advanced to the finals in the FIFA Women's World Cup in France as well. The U.S. women's team made the championship game thanks to a 2-1 win over England in a tight semifinal battle on Tuesday. There was a lot of controversy about the officiating and all that. I think it's all bunk. I've never seen players whine more to refs since the NBA was in session. Get over it and just play the game. But the one thing that was good is, I can't remember her name, Megan is her last name, but she scored, and as she did the header, as she was done, she went over and kind of just stood straight still and pretended like she was sipping tea as kind of a in-your-face to the English team. So I thought that was great. A lot of people were upset by it, and how dare she show up another team, but that's sports. That's what sports is all about. I love it. If you don't like it, then stop her from scoring. England, meanwhile, heads to Saturday's third-place game. The U.S. will face Netherlands, Nederlander, on Sunday in Lyon. The Dutch picked up a 1-0 win. Boring game. I watched some of it last night. Ugh, almost fell asleep. But they did win over Sweden in extra time on Wednesday night. That was last night. So they will play. That game is set to kick off at 9 a.m. in the morning, Mountain Time, on Sunday. You can watch it on Fox. So what do the ladies have to do to win on Sunday? I know absolutely nothing about soccer, so I will say they have to score more points than the Dutch. I think if they can score at least one more point than the Dutch, then they should win. Camden, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
All right, perfect. The game, once again, is set to kick off, or yeah, I guess they kick it when they kick off, at 9 a.m. Mountain Time Sunday morning, and you can watch it again on Fox. Megan Rapinoe, a big story coming out of that game, did not play Tuesday because of a hamstring injury as the U.S. advanced. Once again, they beat England 2-1. Wednesday, Rapinoe told ESPN that her hammy feels very good, and she's expected to be available for Sunday's game in Lyon against Netherlands. Let's see if she starts or she comes off the bench. She is a very controversial figure. She says she loves America, will not salute the flag, will not put her hand over her heart with the national anthem, kind of a protest against the LGBTQ+, I think is what it is. Because of America's treatment of that group. And so a lot of people have called her un-American. I don't know. I could take it either way. One of the great things about America is you're allowed to do these protests. That's why America's free and great, and why we celebrate it every 4th of July. It's because you're allowed to make these protests out there, and there's no ramifications from your country or your government. So good for her. Whether you agree with it or not, she does have that right, and that's what America is all about. Moving on to other NFL news, Dolphins defensive tackle Kendrick Norton was hospitalized after a car crash in a Miami area Thursday morning. Norton, 22, was transported to Miami's Jackson Memorial Hospital Trauma Center, where he remains after the overnight highway crash. Sources said Norton suffered very serious injuries, including a significant injury to his left arm, but his medical status is not considered life-threatening at this time. The Sun Sentinel reported that Norton is in critical condition and that his NFL career may be threatened. We'll take a quick break right now and come back and take a look at the best of interviews from the past year, as long as, well, we were going to talk to Taylor about nail polish, but she's not here with us, so we'll talk to Camden about video games. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Traveling light today in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Get a couple things set up here. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That's Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. My in-studio guest today is going to be an eighth grader. He is struggling with washing his face enough and still has issues trying to figure out what hairstyle he wants. But other than that, not too bad of a kid. His name is Camden Laird, loves video games. Camden, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Scoot a little closer into the mic.
Yep.
So Going into eighth grade, are you worried at all? Are you excited about eighth grade? What makes you excited about going there?
What makes me excited about going to eighth grade is that really just learning and hanging out with people, and that's pretty much it. I'm not really that worried because, they kind of prepare you for eighth grade and all that stuff, so I kind of know what I'm getting into. Like with social studies, I'll be learning about all the war, like a lot more about America and all that stuff.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. You're a big love to game. You're a gamer or whatever it's called. You have a Twitch or a tweet or a twerk account. What is it exactly that you have there?
It is a Twitch account.
Okay.
And it's basically where you just kind of live stream video games and people watch you, and it's kind of like commentary or like that kind of like YouTubers, kind of like that, except live.
Okay, and what is your Twerk account name?
Clue Gaming 3078.
On, what is it, a Twitch?
Twitch.
Okay.
Yep, Twitch.
All right, what are your favorite games to play?
I'm a big fan of a game that came out that was made by Epic Games called Dauntless. It's pretty fun. And then other than that, games that I like to stream often are also, really just that. And I've been kind of getting into more of the Battle Royale scene, not Fortnite, but as, like, the Apex Legend.
You love Fortnite, right? You're, like, a huge fan of it, right?
Yes and no. Like, I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on it, but, like, I'll play it because it is a game. And for
you hate it.
I hate it.
There you go.
All right,
That's kind of a controversial stance for that game, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of people who say it sucks, a lot of people who say it isn't, more people who say it's amazing, but it is very hard to try to be able to explain
why you hate it so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a lot of things. Mainly, it might not be because of the game, it's because of the people who play the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so as well as that, you have an Instagram account you're setting up for food critics, am I correct, for kids, right?
You are correct. It is called the Kids Table, kids_table, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, and what are you going to show on these? What's kind of the goal
really
for it?
Really anything I eat, no matter what. I currently only have one review on there, I think, and it is from Sidewinders. Is it from Sidewinders? I don't remember. I do have a couple of them that are for Sidewinders that I haven't posted yet, but I really like, there's one that was from Nordic Brewing, that's the place, and it was really good, I really loved it, easy to eat, all that stuff, and yeah, I'll be, you know, eating more food there, so if you want to know any, like, reviews for that, just go there.
All right, and what is it under again?
kids_table, 1, 2, 3.
Perfect. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Are you excited about 4th of July?
I am very excited about the 4th of July. I'm kind of bummed out about the fact that we have quite a small budget, but other than that, I'm fine.
We don't. Mom's not going to stop us.
No.
We'll buy what we want to buy. And she's not even listening right now anyway, so we can say right now, we're just going to get what we want to get.
Right.
She gave us a small budget, but we're not going to stick to it. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, I will spend money on my credit card if I have to.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. All right, well, we're going to get right into an interview with Joey Thomas here as well. We interviewed him last year, talking about at the time he was the head coach of Garfield High School. He's now moved on and is an assistant coach at a JC school in Iowa, I believe. Interesting to hear him talk about the Bobcats and his kind of growing up and what he went through. So here's that interview with Joey Thomas right here on KGVM. Welcome to KGVM. You can find us at 95.9 FM on your radio dial or KGVM.org. Very special guest this week, one of the greatest Bobcats to ever suit up in the blue and gold and sometimes white. Third round pick. I said fourth round earlier this week, but it's actually third round pick by the Green Bay Packers. Played for a handful of other NFL teams. The one and only, the great Joey Thomas. Joey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not doing bad. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll start it off right away with what are you up to nowadays for all the Bobcat fans out there?
Okay. I'm a teacher and currently a high school head coach at Garfield High School, which is in Seattle, Washington, and it's a city school, and I just finished my third year there, and, you know, previous to that, I was at Ballard High School, where I was there 5 years, and we've kind of rebuilt both those programs. We've had a lot of kids go on and play college you know, at the next level. So it's been, you know, very exciting, you know, very rewarding. In total, I've helped assist, you know, me and my staff, of course, 116 kids to go to college. So I'm very proud of that.
Very nice. And a handful of those have actually come to MSU, haven't they?
Yes, yes, yes. A few are there. Let's see. Currently, we have Devine Tellis. He played quarterback for us, and we have Mekhi Metcalf as well. And, you know, the whole goal is to keep that pipeline going, you know, from Seattle, Washington to the Bobcats. That's the goal.
Well, and Eric Metcalf, the father of the Metcalf that's from Garfield, kind of surprised he's not in the Hall of Fame, just as a side note there.
Very surprising. But I think with there was a returner, I think it's Keith Mitchell, that was inducted not too long ago. So as long as more and more people get notoriety for being a return guy and a third down guy, the closer he gets to being in the Hall of Fame. So I think he's moving in the right direction.
Perfect. Well, you played your first freshman year at University of Washington. What made you decide to transfer, and what made you pick MSU of all places?
Well, I guess the simple answer is the goals I have for my career and the goals that the UW have for my career weren't on the same page.
Okay.
So ultimately, you know, I felt like, hey, I wanted to go somewhere where I could play my preferred position, and that was corner. And I had a cousin that was attending Montana State, you know, Latrell Williams. And so when I wanted to transfer, it made sense to go where I knew someone. And so I called my cousin, God rest his soul, and he talked to the coach. I called the coach, who was Mike Kramer at the time, and the rest was history.
Very nice. What is your favorite memory of MSU? I know it was a while ago. We're all getting older as the minutes tick by. But what was your favorite memory of MSU?
Hands down, not even close. 2002, playing at their place, and I blocked the field goal, and we wound up winning the game 10-7 to end the streak, you know, against that other school in Montana.
Yeah, we don't want to mention that.
You know, that felt great.
Speaking of that game, actually, I was doing radio down in Sacramento at the time, and there was this bar that was supposed to be the Cat Grizz hangout for that game. And I was down in Sacramento, and I walk in, and there's about 50 Grizzly fans, and there's two Bobcat fans. And the Grizzlies had balloons and streamers and everything everywhere, and the Bobcat fans had pens they were hanging out, blue and gold pens. And I was like, wow, this is sad. But we won the game, and it was the quietest that bar, they said, has ever been. And it was, to me, the happiest and greatest sound ever. So thank you very much for winning that game for all of us.
Not a problem. It was an honor to be part of the rivalry. It's one of the greatest college football rivalries in all sports. It's one of the greatest games, and it's one of the longest rivalries as well. So I enjoyed my time.
So going into your senior year at MSU, did you have any idea that you would be a third-round pick in the NFL draft?
Oddly enough, I did. I had already received my NFL grade, so I had an idea of where I was at. And once I got midway through my year and I finished my year, my grade actually was low first round, high second round. But back then, 14 years ago, guys weren't coming out, you know, out of the big sky and going that high. You know, there was still a little bit of stigma on the big sky. So, you know, I ran well, I test well, and I went in the third round. So it was an honor and a privilege, but I like to believe guys like myself, Jared Allen and others, really opened up the door for the Cooper Cups and everybody else to go high in the draft. You know, we paved the way for them to do it because 14 years ago, guys just weren't going that high in the draft.
All right, well, you played for a handful of teams in the NFL. Kind of a weird question, but what is your favorite memory of NFL for us fat idiots that live vicariously through you guys?
For me, and this is all in hindsight because, you know, as you're going through it, at least for myself, I never really took time to think about it or enjoy it. It was just part of the process. I was always trying to accomplish the next thing. But for me, it was playing at Lambeau Field. I mean, that was the greatest experience that you could ever have. Being in Lambeau, that's the greatest fan base, in my humble opinion, ever in NFL sports. they're phenomenal. The environment's phenomenal. And I think my first game at Lambeau was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. And every time we played in Lambeau, it was just great. So I think my Lambeau experience it's probably the greatest experience I had, you know, being an NFL player.
Lambeau's my least favorite, being a Lions fan, because we never ever been there. No, it's fine. You know, there's very few teams. I was talking to a friend of mine. There's very few teams that nobody hates. Like, nobody says, man, I can't stand the Browns, because they're just always bad.
Right.
The Lions are one of those teams. Nobody hates the Lions because we never do anything. So it's okay.
That's true. That's very true. Unfortunately, that's very true.
Well, you know, you pay your quarterback $100 million. What do you expect? Last question before we get into the quickfire round. Now that you're a head coach at a high school program, when the Grizzlies, that other team, come by, and you know the coaches are going to come by that day, do you ever just wear Bobcat stuff for the heck of it, just to mess with them?
Without question. Without question. When I know ahead of time that they're coming, I make sure to have my Bobcat gear on every time. Just to remind them, in case they don't know, I'm a Bobcat. And it's like I always say, you're Bobcat bound or you're Bobcat bait. What are you?
So what do they ever say anything about that?
Oh, always. Oh, you have to wear that sweatshirt today. Absolutely. Just like you're wearing your gear, I'm wearing mine. You know, and it's a great way to, you know, lighten the mood a little bit. But you always have to remind those guys, you know, what's the right side of Montana and which school is the best school.
Exactly. Do you ever, how often, I guess, do you make it back to MSU for games?
I don't make it back very often just because we're playing the same time they're playing.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I was back maybe 3 years ago, maybe, I believe it was. But it's just tough as far as the scheduling and, you know, figuring it out. You know, my ultimate goal is to, you know, schedule a Thursday game here so I can fly out, you know, Thursday night or Friday to get to a Saturday home game. It's kind of difficult with the schedule.
Well, and they used to have, I don't think they did last year, but a couple of years they had the Gold Rush game, that first game on a Thursday. And so that makes it a little easier for people to get here if you're busy on Saturdays. Would you ever, and I know you're at Garfield and you're the head coach there, and we don't want to upset them, but would you ever think about, or have you ever been offered to come back to MSU for coaching?
I would absolutely love to come back to MSU coaching, to coach. I think that would be a phenomenal experience. And now, you know, currently looking at how things are set up with, you know, Kane and I own, you know, being in D.C. and, you know, me and Kane, you know, pretty much growing up together in that secondary as young puppies into, you know, young men, that would be a phenomenal thing. And just all this is hypothetically, of course, right? Because I'm employed at Garfield High School, so
yeah,
I just want to clear that up. But hypothetically, to look at how beautiful it could be, no one's ever going to beat me in recruiting. That's just how I feel. You know, deep down in my heart, you're not going to beat me in recruiting, especially recruiting in Seattle, Washington, where it's my home state, where I'm loved, where all those things. And if you look at the Big Sky, whoever wins the recruiting battle in Washington wins the Big Sky. That's been the way it's been since I was there. And right now, you know, Eastern Washington is winning the state of Washington. So I think long-term, you know, we have to beat Eastern and continuously beat Montana in the state of Washington in recruiting. And no one's going to do that better than me because that's where I'm from. I know where all the talent is. I know where all the kids are. So just throwing that out there.
I throw it out as much as I possibly can as well. Don't worry.
But it also has to be the right situation. It has to be the right situation for, you know, Coach Cho and Coach Ion and, you know, for myself. You know, I'm a father. You know, I'm married going on 10 years this year and I have 4 kids. So I would love that opportunity to come back in general, but especially with Kane being there, I think that has the opportunity to be something magical, something special. And who better to learn from than a guy who's played at the highest level, who's done it all, who's been a College All-American, who's played in the league, who's had phenomenal DB coaches along the way. Todd Bowles, who was just recently the Jets head coach, which is now the Tampa Bay, you know, D.C., you know, Lionel Washington, who played 12 years in the league. Like, I've had phenomenal coaches, and, you know, I've had a decent career, and I know a little something about the secondary. So, I mean, we were part of one of the greatest secondaries to ever come out of the Big Sky Conference. So I think that combination, you know, between Kane and myself will be a phenomenal one. It just has to be the right situation and the right timing of it. So one day, I hope it happens. You know, it could be a day soon, could be a day far down the road. I don't know what God has in store, but me personally, I would love that opportunity. And we would dominate, and we would put the Big Sky on notice.
Well, and of course, this is all hypothetical, Garfield High School, remember. Not that anybody from Garfield High School is listening to my show. So talking about teaching and everything else, with the rule changes in the NFL, how do you teach kids, or when do you start teaching them at the high school level or college, how to be a physical DB without getting called for personal fouls and pass interference and everything as much? Is that difficult to do now with all the new rules for the offense?
Not really, because if you go back to when I was playing in the Big Sky, I was called for a lot of, you know, pass interference calls because we were ahead of the curve. You know, what we were doing, our ball skills, our techniques, we were ahead of the curve, and they just hadn't seen the type of things that we were doing. I mean, if you think about it, me and Jay Hackett, along with Kyam Hunter, CJ Askins, and a lot of other people, we were the beginning, and I won't say the beginning, but we were the start of a new trend of the big, tall, long DBs. Right? Like, mm-hmm. We were part of that. And I think for me to teach in this climate, it's the exact same way that we had to be taught by John Rushing in that climate when we were in the Big Sky, because we were ahead of the curve. So for me, it's just teaching the things that I've already had to learn. So I don't think it would be difficult. I think there's some techniques that you can do, but you also have to accept when you're going to be a physical secondary, you're going to get some calls, and you have to be willing to live with that call. You know, some of those calls, you're going to get some of the bad calls, but you have to press through it and fight through it, because you're going to make more plays than you're going to give up by being a physical, attacking, downhill secondary.
Well, and they say the DBs have to have the shortest memory pretty much on the field. Is that play's gone, now move to the next?
Absolutely. But because DBs have the shortest memory on the field, because we always tell them there's no play like the next play, play the next play, you have to go about teaching them differently, because their attention span isn't as long as everybody else's, because we've been taught and programmed our whole life to forget. So the way you go about installing, the way you go about teaching certain techniques has to be different than any other position on the field.
All right, last two questions. These are the quick-fire questions that we got off of Bobcat Nation. The first one is, and these are just random wacko questions. These are people that write on the interwebs. But is a hot dog considered a sandwich in your mind?
No.
No? All right, perfect.
No.
And
no.
The last one is...
It's a hot dog.
Exactly. It's not a That's sandwich. What I it's think, too. But so, and the last one is milk acceptable for an adult to drink with dinner?
Oh, well, it's not, I wouldn't do it, but hey, if you want milk at your dinner, go for it.
See, I drink milk all the time, and I say that's the reason I've never broke a bone, but I'm pretty sure it's because I'm so unathletic that I never do anything that's going to get me hurt, but it's one or the other. All right, Joey. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Good luck this year at Garfield High School, and remember, go Cats.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and we should do it again soon.
All right. Thanks. That was an interview we did earlier this last fall with Joey Thomas. Once again, thank him for coming on. I have reached out to him, and he might come on here later on in the fall. He's busy coaching right now, but he did say he'd be more than happy to come on. We will have Leon Costello in an interview next week. We're also lining up Travis Lule to come on the show as well. So a lot of big guests coming up. We're going to take a quick break, come back with a couple more interviews, and we'll chat with Camden about his twerky, twitchy account or whatever it is. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, as always, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. Once again, it is 4th of July, and so we're kind of doing a best of. We'll get right into the Nico Harrison interview now. It's the one that Camden wanted to hear. He said some of the other ones were boring. I'm not going to say who they were, but he said they were boring. But an update right now, just real quickly here, in the 3M Open in the PGA Tour, Nick Taylor currently at 6-under and tied for 3rd through 8 holes. The leader right now is Hideki Matsuyama at 7-under, also Adam Hadwin at 7-under. Both of those are finished. Brian Harman, is at 6-under. Not even going to try to say that name, at 6-under as well. Nick Taylor tied for 3rd right there, one shot back at 6-under. But all those above him are finals, and most of them below him are finals. So if he keeps this up, he is going to be in very good shape and could be leading after day one. So good luck to Nick. Every time I do this, I jinx him, so hopefully I didn't hear. I'm sure I did there, but we'll just have to take that as they go. Once again, let's get right back into our interview we had earlier this year, right after right around basketball season, with Nico Harrison. Once again, this is KGVM.org. So our guest today, you may know, if you're a Bobcat fan, as MSU Hall of Famer, basketball player here for the Cats, or maybe one of the top execs in the Nike world. But most Valley probably remembers him as Dick Hart's assistant coach for the 1996 Big Sky State Game champion Bozeman Force. His name is Nico Harrison. Nico, do you even remember who the Force were?
I don't, actually.
It was, and the only reason why I do is because my brother was on the team when he was a sophomore in high school. It was the Big Sky State Games team that Dick Hart was the coach of, and he said you were an assistant coach for that team.
I remember that, but I don't remember the name that they were the Force or anything. Yeah, I remember that. That's funny.
And nobody remembers you from that, by the way. They all remember the other stuff. So,
well, I'm sure the guys playing on the team do.
There you go, and that's all that matters. So, again, we mentioned you are a Nike executive. If you can go through, what exactly is your title, and what does that entail for people that might not know?
So my title, I know what I actually do is kind of ambiguous, but I'll try to give you a little example. So I'm vice president of Nike Basketball and Jordan Sports Marketing, and basically over the two brands in basketball and making sure that we have the best collection of athletes underneath our umbrella, that we leverage them, we service them at a high level, and just basically being all things basketball.
So you would be the one that would talk to Zion Williamson coming out now that he's declared for the draft, when he gets to get him signed up for Nike and that kind of stuff?
If I'm doing my job, yes, I'd be the one.
All right, perfect. So going back to the beginning, so everyone knows, with MSU, you came from West Point. What was your first thought coming to Bozeman, and what made you choose Montana State from so far away?
So my first thought, well, I didn't really think I was going to Bozeman, but every place that I thought I was going to, it just didn't work out for one reason or another. And part of it was my major. I wasn't going to go to school just because, you know, they wanted me for basketball, or just because I wanted them for basketball. So a part of it was my major, and Montana State had a great pre-med program. And so that's really what attracted me. But even with that, Coach Shaw, Coach Jim Shaw, was the assistant coach, and he used to be at Oregon State. And so he actually helped me with all my tapes. He recorded all my tapes for me. He sent them to all the schools. He was on the phone talking to all the schools that were recruiting me after I left West Point. And finally, I'm like, hey, coach, like, why are you doing this? Like, I'm not going to Montana State. Why are you doing this? He goes, well, Nico, I've always liked you. You've been a good kid, and I'll do anything I can do to help. And he's like, and hey, who knows? If stuff doesn't work out, maybe you'll come to Montana State. And I'm like, well, I appreciate it. And one thing led to another, and I ended up calling him a week before school started and said, hey, coach, nothing's working out. I'm coming to Montana State.
Well, and we thank you for that, by the way, because you turned out to be one of the best ever. On that note, you did become one of the all-time greats at MSU. What is, would you say, is your fondest memory of being a Bobcat or being here in Bozeman?
That's my fondest memory. Gosh, I have so many of them. It actually seems like it wasn't that long ago until I started doing the math and then realizing it was a long time ago. Probably the interaction that I had with the teammates, especially, you know, you start from year one with the Adam Leachmans of the world and Scott Hatlers, and then those guys are like total Montana kids.
Yeah,
probably their exposure to any of us was like shocking, and then our exposure to Montana was shocking. But you take that from year one and go all the way till the end, and it was like they knew us from our backgrounds, and we knew them from Montana, and we were the same team and like all one, and it wasn't really like there was no culture shock at that point.
So you're inducted into the Hall of Fame. What is it like? What was it like being inducted into it, being somebody that turns out didn't really want to come here, but it was kind of, hey, they have good pre-med, I'll try to go there. What was it like seeing your name with some of the greats that did play for the Cats?
You know, it's like the cherry on top, and it also validates the fact that you went there and you did more than just went there. Like, you were actually impactful. So it means a lot to me. I'm proud of it. It's, you know, you can say, hey, this guy went to a Power 5 conference, but if you went to a Power 5 conference and you were just average, then who cares? Versus at least, you know, I was at least tried to be a big fish in a smaller pond and try to make an impact. So,
well, you definitely did. Tom DeMaco told us a story on the show about a month ago of he was back in Bozeman for some event. I think it was a game. I can't remember if it was Cat Grizz or what it was, but he went up to the Hall of Fame room at halftime, and they wouldn't let him in because he didn't have his ID. And he literally had to walk in and stand underneath his picture and say, this is me. It's all right if I come in here. Have you had anything like that, those kind of experiences when you're back at MSU where you're like, no, I'm Nico Harrison. It's okay.
I haven't yet, but I would probably do the same thing Tom did. Fortunately for me, at least like now with Sprinkle there, if I go to a game, I'm sure I'll get good tickets.
Yeah.
last year, my tickets weren't the greatest, but I also didn't have to pay for them. So I'm a little bougie these days. But no crazy experiences. For the most part, I think the town still kind of remembers our team. And so.
Oh, we do. We do.
So it makes it nice when you come back. You know, you feel good about it.
You know, a funny story about that year that you guys won the Big Sky Championship. It was here in Bozeman, and you beat Weber State. That year, I actually was going to school in Minneapolis. I was on my way to Bozeman to catch the whole tournament. My car broke down in Dickinson, and I had to watch the semifinals and finals game in Dickinson, North Dakota, because I could not make it back to Bozeman. So I remember it as being stuck in miserable North Dakota to watch the games, but everyone else remembers it because of the win.
That's funny. Well, it says a lot that you tried to make it back, so appreciate that.
Yeah, when you're 19, you do crazy things, drive 15 hours. But it was awesome seeing it on TV. Then it was awesome watching. I believe you guys played Syracuse in the first round and lost by like 11. It was one of those magical years and those great years that don't come around often, and of course everyone wishes they would more, but it was definitely something special here in Bozeman. So moving on to Danny Sprinkle, you mentioned him earlier that he's the new coach. Did you guys talk at all leading up to the interview, or did you talk with the selection committee at all about this? Were you involved in the selection committee at all?
I wasn't involved, and I don't take it personally. I'm a little mad, but I don't take it personally. but yeah, I talked to everybody I could. To me, it was a no-brainer. I thought it was a no-brainer 4 years ago with Sprinkle, but now he even has four more years of, or I don't know, how long was Fisher, 4 years?
I think five years.
So, yeah, so I thought it was a no-brainer 5 years ago. Sprinkle even has five more years of maturity. I thought it was a no-brainer. I thought that there was no downside to getting someone who's from there, who wants to be there, and quite frankly is just an amazing person. Great coach. Everybody in the industry loves him. There was no downside to me. So I talked to everybody I could. I talked to Sprinkle about it. Our whole team were on a chat line. I mean, we talked about it every day. We're all excited. We're all happy for him. Happy that Leon made the right decision, that the selection committee made the right decision. But gosh, it just seemed like a no-brainer to me.
So what do the Cats need to do? Now they have Danny Sprinkle. What do you think the Cats need to do to get to that level you guys were at when you and him played together and the Cats were packing the field house with sold-out crowds most of the games?
Well, one, I think they got to get better talent. And they have some talented players. I've watched them play over the years. They have talented players. But from top to bottom, they got to get better talent. And I think Danny will do that. And also, they got to play a good brand of basketball, you know, exciting brand of basketball that people are going to want to see, where it's above the rim, it's running up and down. They got to do that, and I think Danny's going to do that, and they got to play on both sides of the ball.
Well, one thing that Danny said in his first interview, one of the questions I asked him was, "What is his style going to be?" And I liked his answer where he said, "The first 6 seconds, you can do whatever you want. If you want to run down and shoot a wide-open three, or if you want to pass around, that first seconds is all up to you, and the only way I'm going to pull you is if you look over to me like you're in trouble." And I think that's a good sign for the Cats. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, coaches prepare their teams in practice to play in the games. In the games, they gotta have some instincts and be able to play without looking over at the bench every 2 seconds, and that's part of instilling confidence in your players. And people probably won't realize this, but we very rarely ran offense, an offensive play when I played. We ran motion, so it was all read and react.
Oh, really? I guess I didn't realize that was under Durham.
Yep.
Back in the day, and I think he runs that same kind of offense with Billings, MSU Billings now.
Yes, I'm sure he does.
So, with Sprinkle back, is your top goal in life now, other than getting Zion Williamson? You know all that. That's easy stuff. Is it to get MSU back to a Nike basketball school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Sprinkle and I are going to corner Leon and force him.
Perfect. I like that. Well, let me know when that happens, because I just want to watch from the corner. We can have it at Spectators, and I can just sit over in the corner and just observe. So some rapid-fire questions to wrap up. I've asked this to everybody that has been on the show, from D'Amico to Nick Taylor, who's a PGA golfer, and all those. So just some really quick questions here. Just fire off the answers. First one, is a hot dog considered a sandwich?
No.
Okay, should adults drink milk?
Only if it's the leftover milk from a cereal.
Ooh, very good answer. And your go-to IPA or drink?
1942 with a big ice cube and a lime.
Very nice. And the very last one, will you give me Kobe Bryant's number so I can have him on the show after we're done here?
I will give you his security's number. And if you can get past him, then you'll get to Kobe.
Perfect. That's all I wanted. Well, Nico, thank you very much. Hopefully you can make it back to some of the games that Danny's going to coach at here in the much foreseeable future. And good luck with everything at Nike. It's amazing how you've risen. It's great to call you a MSU alum and one of the Bobcat greats. So thank you very much for coming on the show.
Ian, thanks a lot for the time. I appreciate it. It's always good to relive the good old days.
All right, thanks. That was an interview we had earlier this year with Nico Harrison. A lot of things that he talked about there have kind of came true. That Sprinkle is looking for a lot more talent. He's uploaded with bigger, stronger, faster kind of guys. You're going to have your Harold Fraze. I think Kirby, if he can gain some weight, is going to be a big key. Those are the two big keys. Ricketts from outside, a sharpshooter from outside, kind of Sprinkle-esque, maybe a little taller. But those kind of players are going to be what the Cats are going to need. We have reached out to Danny Sprinkle. He said he'll come on the show. We're just trying to line up a best time. So we'll have Sprinkle coming up as well. In the next couple weeks, like I said, as we wrap up our show here today, the guests we're going to have is, we're working on Leon Costello. Looks like he's going to be on next week. Travis Lule will be coming up, as well as hopefully Joey Thomas. We can get him back. Also BJ Robinson, the special teams coach, and of course the high school coordinator or recruiter for MSU, one of the top ones. Great, great guy right now. They're kind of running all over the place before they start fall camp coming up here in August. less than a month away. Camden, we're a month away from fall camp opening for football and only 2 months away from right around the first game.
Really?
Yep. So football is coming up very quick. Any last words you want to tell? What is your what was your Twitter handle or whatever they all were? Can you say those one more time?
My Twitch handle or Twitch name is, or you can go to it at twitch.tv/cluegaming3078. So you can check that out if you want.
There you go. So go check out all of his Twitchings. They're pretty neato. I've never watched one because I don't understand what the hell it is. But once again, thank you very much for listening to the show. As always, you can reach us at kgvm.org or 94.9 FM on your radio dial. Have a very safe and fun 4th of July. Don't lose any fingers out there trying to light fireworks or anything else. Be safe, be responsible, and enjoy the rest of your very long weekend. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, this has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.